Matthew chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I would like to say that I'm grateful for the meeting, the opportunity to be here, and enjoyed fellowshipping with the Stevens, and grateful to them for allowing me to come and stay in their home, and for you all to allow me to come and present the ministry. It's a great blessing to me. Our pastor, I asked him a piece of advice when I first started deputation, and I asked him, you know, what can you tell me? And he said, well, the only thing I can think of to tell you is just be a blessing and get a blessing. And he said, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the love offerings. Don't worry about if they're going to support you or not. He said, you go where the Lord opens a door, and you don't go where the Lord closes a door. You be a blessing and you get a blessing. So that's what we've tried to do all along. So thank you so much for the meeting here. Anyway, Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to read a few verses starting in verse number 35, Matthew chapter 9, and verse number 35 says this: And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, we thank you one more time for this day, this opportunity to be here. Let's pray that you would be with the message now, your message, Lord, and I pray you would move Dan Dougherty out of the way, and that you would help me to be a vessel, Lord, fit for your use. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here, Matthew chapter 9, probably one of the most common, most famous missions passages. And I've heard it preached, and it's been to many different missions conferences and different places, and I've heard people preach this in certain ways. And a lot of times you hear it preached, and you hear the emphasis is usually laid on the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few, and you hear a lot of statistics. You know, they throw them out there in the missions conferences about this country, and this is the population, and this is the statistic of the lost people, and you hear a lot of that, and there's always a lot of emphasis laid on that harvest being plenteous. And then there's also some emphasis laid on the laborers, there being few laborers, and rightly so, because really that's the conclusion of this little passage here from 35 to 38. But really, when the Lord gave me this message, and I got this message, I don't know, 6 months or so ago, and I've preached it a handful of times in different meetings that I've been to, and the Lord gave me this message, something else really jumped out at me from this passage, and I'm going to try to lean that way a little bit. But first, I'd like to note something here that the harvest truly is plenteous, and that the laborers are few. The first thing that I noticed that the Lord showed me as I was coming down through there and reading that jumped out at me was, if there are so many fields to be harvested, if the harvest truly is plenteous, then why are there so few laborers? If there are so many positions, so to speak, that need to be filled, if there are so many places that need to be reached, if there's so many areas that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are many, many people, Christians, that are able to go to those places, then why are there so few laborers? And I guess I posed that question to myself, and I asked myself, with scratching my head, why are there so few laborers? And what's the motive? What's the difference? What's going on here? And so I started looking over the passage and reading it time and time again, just trying to get some of it to soak in. And I realized that the Lord actually is trying to teach His disciples something here. What happens is the Lord actually sees something going on, and so He turns to His disciples like He always did, and He tries to use this time right here as an opportunity to teach them something. If you look back at verse number 36, it says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples. So the Lord noticed that there was a problem. He noticed that something was going on, so he turns to his disciples and he begins to teach them a lesson. And the lesson that he starts to teach them, he likens it unto a harvest. He likens it unto farming, so to speak, or yielding a crop. Now, I don't know how many farmers we have in here tonight, but if you've ever had any dealings with farming or even gardening, even planting a garden, that you know that that's difficult work. You know that there's something to that. And so I started looking at that passage, and the Lord showed me a few things here, and I'm going to give you, I've really got 4-point introduction here in a 1-point message. So I want to give you 4 things here by way of introduction about why there are so few laborers in the harvest. Why are there so few laborers in the harvest? And first of all, I'd like to say this. Number one, because the work is hard. You know, the harvest work is hard. If you've ever done any kind of farm work, you know that. And when I was 18 years old, I was kind of a good for nothing. I actually got saved when I was 10 years old, and I grew up in a Christian home, so to speak. My dad and my mom divorced when I was 5 years old. My dad kept us in church when I was at his house. So about the time I was 12, 13 years old, I started kind of rebelling against the Lord a little bit. And I wasted a lot of those years. And when I was 18 years old, I wouldn't work. I failed my senior year of high school. And my mom gave me 2 options. She says, well, you've got 2 options. She says, when school starts, you can either enroll in school, or number 2, you can get a job. I said, well, I'll get a job. And so I decided to get a job. And so I started working at this little restaurant deal, and I got a job, and they wanted a dishwasher. And I thought, wash dishes, how hard could that be? And so I go here, and I start, and they've got this big commercial dishwasher thing, you know, with the big arm that comes down and the dryer. And I was washing dishes my first night, and it was all right at first. You know, it was kind of slow when I first got in. It was just kind of easy. But then all of a sudden, the dishes just kept coming. And just kept coming and kept piling up, and I'm going as fast as I can, and then they're ringing the bell, and I had to go out and bust tables, and then I'm running like a chicken with my head cut off, and I'm thinking, man, this is hard work. I want to find a different job. And so I started looking for a different job. And I found a job working at a car wash. And I was like, that'll be easy working at a car wash, you know. But the only thing is, they wanted me to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, man, that's rough. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've had to do this for so many years in school, and I don't want to sleep in. You know, I was a little bit on the lazy side, and I didn't want to work. You know what I found out about working? I found out that work was hard, and so I wouldn't get a job. And I fooled around, and come time for school, and I didn't enroll in school. And you know what happened? I got kicked out of my house, and that's probably the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm standing here to tell you the honest truth, because if she'd have kept on letting me do like I was doing, there's no telling where I'd be right now. But she kicked me out. She said, I'm sorry, you got to go. It's probably more my stepdad than her. But I had to go. They said, get out of the house. And I had an older brother. He was living down in Kentucky. And I thought, well, I'll go down there with John. And so I go down there with John. And he says, yeah, come on down and everything. He had his own apartment. And so I get down there, and I'm hanging out. You know, I'm there for a week or so. And you know what he finally tells me? Hey, man, you have to get a job. And he said, but I got an idea. He said, there's a place downtown. He said, you go down there and you stand there. He said, you can't miss it. He told me where to go. He said, there's a bunch of people. They'll be standing down there on the corner, and they'll be waiting. And if you stand there, these vans will pull up, and they'll take you. You can go work for a day, and they'll pay you cash money, $6 an hour. And hey, back then, that was pretty good money, because my job minimum wage was $3.85. I thought, $6 an hour, cash money, one day of work, that's right up the alley for me. Only thing was, I had to get up early. But I did. So I went down there. I got up and I went down there and I stood on the street corner, and there was a bunch of people there. And there was people from all different walks of life, all different colors and different backgrounds. And I was beginning to get a little bit worried. I didn't know what I was getting into. I was 18 years old, never really been away from home. And I'm looking around, and I'm kind of a little guy anyway, and I'm starting to get scared. And so about the time I was going to chicken out, these vans roll up. These big white vans, when they come rolling in, the doors slide open. And these guys jump out and they start going, you, you, you. And everybody's running up to the van, me, 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 me. And the guy's picking certain ones. And some of them got left behind. But some of them, that guy's calling them out. And I'm like thinking, oh, please don't pick me, please don't. And he looked right at me and said, you, I said, okay. So I just kind of followed in like cattle. I got in. I didn't know where I was going. Had no clue where I was going. Really didn't want to be there, but I knew I had to work. I was starting to learn something, a principle in life, that I was going to have to work. If I was going to have my own money, if I was going to be able to pay my own bills, if I wasn't going to be bumming off of other people, I was going to have to get a job. And so I was down there for that pure reason, and I got in the van, and I didn't know where we were going, but we start going down the road, and we start going out of town. And we're going far, I mean, I don't know where we're going. We start getting out of town, and we start pull up, and there's this big field. Anybody ever worked in tobacco? Anybody ever worked in tobacco? Well, that's what we did. We worked in a tobacco field. And we went out there, and I remember, I'll never forget, they got this big tractor, and they had a big flatbed trailer on it, and we started out, and he said, okay, you're going to be on this crew, and they already had it cut and everything, and it was been sitting out in the field, and that tractor started going, just real slow. And we had to walk down beside that tractor and hand it up. There's another guy on there, and he's stacking it. And we're on that tractor, and I'm just stacking, and I'm handing it up to the stacker. I'm bending over, handing it up, and I start to look in toward the end of the row. I'm like, man, that's a long row. And I'm steady just looking at the end of the row, just waiting for the end of the row. And we finally reached the end of the row, and I stood up, and I'm stretching my back, going, oh, yeah, we're done. And the tractor starts going, right down the other side. And then I looked at the end of the field. I was, oh, no, Lord have mercy. You know what I learned? That work is hard. That farm work is hard stuff. And the Lord is using that type of analogy, that type of work for this service, and saying, hey, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So what I'm saying to you is, why are there so few laborers in the Christian service? Because the work is hard. People get out there into the work, and they get involved in the work, and they say, hey, I'll go, you know, I'll get out there and I'll work. And they get down, maybe they'll get down the end of the row, and they decide to head out. Thought did cross my mind that day. I was going down through there, I don't remember when, maybe halfway through the field, and I was looking toward the end of the field, and I started thinking, I wonder how far back it is to town, how far of a walk. But the work is hard. It's a hard work. Not only that, but the work is seasonal. Keep your place there and go to Galatians chapter 6. Keep Matthew 9 and go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Maybe you know where we're going. Very common verse. Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know why there are so few laborers in the Christian service? Because the work is seasonal. It's seasonal. You know, you don't always reap the harvest. You know that in farm worker and gardening, you know, sometimes there's a time of sowing. And you know, there's a time of watering. And you know, also there's a time of just waiting. When you can do nothing else but wait. And it's those seasons that get people. And what a lot of Christians get in the mode of nowadays is they think that they always have to be reaping. They think that they always need the benefits of God. They always need the blessings of God. And if they're not getting those blessings, if they're not getting those benefits, and they're not getting those good things from God, then they start thinking, man, what's wrong? What's going on with me? Or what's going on with this ministry? This is not what I thought it was going to be like. And they faint and they fall out. Because they forget that there's seasons to the Christian service. Just like there's seasons in farming, and planting, gardening. Remember, we're talking about why are there so few laborers in the harvest? Why do so few Christians get called? I don't think that it's few that get called. I think it's just few that go. God's not in the not calling business. God's calling people. God's ringing the telephones, but people aren't answering. They're not saying, I'll go. Why else? Why are there so few laborers? Let me tell you this. The work is hard and the work is seasonal But you know, it doesn't pay real good either. You know, if you sell out to the ministry, if you go into the full-time ministry, you know, it doesn't pay real well. I've never really known anybody that just said, you know what, I'm looking for a good career that's going to make me a lot of money. Something that's going to get me rich. I know, I'll be a pastor. I know, I'll be a missionary. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some of those out there. There's the Joel Osteens. There's the swindlers, and there's the con artists, and there's the false prophets that are using the things of God to steal money from people. There's those guys. But that's not the ministry. You don't go into the ministry for money. You go into the ministry because God calls you into the ministry. You know, I didn't meet any of those guys out there that I thought probably really wanted to be career tobacco pickers. And I've never met anybody in my entire life that had told me, you know what I'm going to do when I grow up? I want to be a tobacco picker. It just wasn't real. It was just not really a career. It's just something that people did because they didn't have anything better to do, or maybe they couldn't find another job. You know, there was no real application. There was no interview to see if I was good enough for the job. It was just whether or not I was willing to go down on the street corner. And so I ask you tonight, are you willing just to go down on the street corner? Why are there so few laborers? It's hard. It's seasonal. It doesn't pay real good. You know what? It just could be dangerous. It could cost you something. Maybe not your life or your health. Could cost you a job these days. Could cost you your reputation. Serving God will cost you something if you're serving Him with everything that you have. If you've laid your all on the altar, then serving God will cost you something. If serving God has not costed you something yet, then I ask you, what have you been doing? Has it costed you anything? Could be dangerous. When I was praying about going to the jungle for the first time, that was one of my first concerns. Could be dangerous down there. I didn't know what to expect. And so I prayed about it, and I felt peace to go, and I went. I had a great trip. It was good. Everything was fantastic, spiritually. I got back, and about a week into being back, I started not feeling good. I started feeling really fatigued, and I started getting nauseous. I couldn't hold food down, and started getting worse and worse. Started losing weight. I'm already thin. I'm about 150 pounds right now. I got down to 124 pounds. I got sick. I didn't know what was wrong. I went to the doctor. He looked at me over. He said, your liver's swollen. Your spleen is swollen. You've got a bacteria. You got a parasite. I thought I was going to die. I was sick for about 2 months or so, month and a half, 2 months. It's probably a year before I finally got well again. And the Lord started pressing on my heart to go back. Go back to the jungle. You have work to do there. There's something for you to do there. So I prayed about it. And I got a phone call from some of the brethren there. They wanted me to come. They said, we need you to come. We're having a youth meeting. We're getting our youth together. We'd like for you to come help do some of the preaching. We want one of your daughters to come and be a counselor for our girls. I'd like her to teach them some things about being a Christian young lady. Talk about doing some serious praying. I said, okay, I'll pray. I prayed. So what'd you do? I took her. What happened? She led somebody to the Lord. Had a great time in the Lord. The Lord blessed. The devil is the one that likes to strike fear in your heart. The devil is the one that would fear you into thinking that you can't serve God. We've just got to get over those fears. So I took her back with me. I went back a third time, took my wife, my youngest son with me that time again. Can't be scared about serving the Lord. If God's called you to do something, you can't be feared out of it. You have to do it. People don't go to the harvest field because it's dangerous. So what happens to these people eventually? These people that continually make excuse after excuse. Lord, I can't because of this, and Lord, I can't because of that. And I remember when the Lord called me to the mission field, and I fought it. And I did, and Brother Lonnie and I had a good conversation about this earlier. He told me some things about his calling, and the Lord, He put it on my heart, and I fought that thing. I said, Lord, but there's this and there's that. Lord, and I had a good business in Pensacola. I was making good money. I thought, Lord, I can support a lot of missionaries. The Lord said, no, I want you to go. So what happens to these people eventually that continually say, no, 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 and the Lord gives them something to do, and they continually negate the fact that the Lord wants them to do it? They lose a vision. They may end up still in church. They may end up just filling a pew. But they lose their vision that God's given them. And you know what the Bible says about when the people have no vision? Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people. You realize what that means when you lose your vision, when the Christian loses their vision to go into the harvest field and do something for God. Yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you're doing good. But the people are the ones who perish. The lost are the ones who perish and die and go to hell because you've lost your vision. So here's another question for you. What is the difference in a Christian that works and does something for God and one that doesn't? What's the difference? Because you have those Christians that serve God and they answer their call and they'll do something for God, and then you have the ones that just can't seem to quite get it going. What is the difference? Well, that's the lesson that the Lord was trying to teach His disciples. Go back to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And look at verse number 36 again. He says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. You know what the difference is? Compassion. Some have compassion making a difference. You know, compassion and love are different. You can have love, or you can care, and you can see a situation, and here's the difference between love and compassion. Love looks at a situation or a call or a need and says, wow, man, that's pretty bad. Something needs to be done about that. They can care for that situation and say, something needs to be done about that. But you know what compassion says? Compassion looks at the same situation and says, wow, I need to do something about that. That's a difference. What will you do with what God's shown you to do? So how do we get compassion? How do we get that compassion? Look at verse number 38. Here's the only way. Pray. 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 It doesn't say preach them into the harvest. It says pray ye. Therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I'm convinced that only the Holy Spirit of God can give somebody compassion by prayer. Because it goes directly against human nature. Human nature is me, mine, ours, take care of us. That's human nature. Human nature is that the divine nature is what gives and what helps and what restores. That's a divine nature. And that's compassion. Pray for that compassion. Be willing to get down there on that street corner. When you get down the street corner, say, where's the street corner? Right here. This is it. Sometimes, you know, I didn't really want to be there, but there were some reasons I knew that I had to be there. Sometimes you may not feel like getting up, or you may not feel like getting dressed to come to church, but sometimes you just come because you know it's the right thing to do, and that's okay. Because sometimes you get in that rut, but you need to come. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because you're here. And you did come. But you need to be here. But number two, you need to be ready to get in the van. when the preacher dishes it out, when he's preaching, when he's teaching, when you hear something, and when God speaks to your heart, you have to say, okay, Lord, I'll get in the van. And you have to understand that when you get in that van, you may not know where it's going. You may not know where it's going to take you. You may not be able to see the whole spotlight. But you're going to have to understand that the job is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You just have to endure the hardness. Endure it. And finish the job. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, again for